I'd like to say hello to my people. It's been a good little while since we've spoken to you. We're here in Singapore. Very, very beautiful place. I've never been here before, and we've had a real experience here. It's like a beautiful garden. It seems that everywhere you go, everything is so lovely. And the people are very nice. We've ministered here, and we've found people that are very receptive. So it's wonderful to be here in Singapore. We're supposed to be here through tomorrow. And then early Tuesday morning, we're supposed to leave for Hong Kong. I trust that everything's been going well on the home front and that you people have been praying for us. We need your prayers continually. We're running into all kinds of problems as we travel around. We had a real successful time over in India as to the last place that we stopped. And we ministered to people there continually. As a matter of fact, people were so hungry for the revelation that we spent, I know at least one day, 8 hours we ministered to them. And a number of days we ministered maybe 3-5 hours, and sometimes at night in their services 2 hours or more. And the people were very receptive. They're very hungry, very grateful. As a matter of fact, we left them in tears. Some of them in tears. They was crying and wanting us to come and stay. As a matter of fact, some of them said, "Brother Frank, you've been in America long enough. It's time that you come to us." And they pleaded with us after hearing the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them said, "We have never heard anything like this in all of our life." And said, "It's so satisfying." Said, "It's the thing that we've longed for." And they pleaded with us to stay longer. But there is the other places we had to finish what we were to, you know, we had to do and then go on. And here in Singapore, we don't have enough time to really get acquainted with the people like we'd like to. We have a brother Leonard and his wife here from the Methodist Church. They're sitting in the room here where we're speaking. And we've had some fellowship here. It seems to be very fine people. And we've also met Brother Gunn, who's a very fine brother. Brother Howard and some of the Brother Branham following here. We've had a chance to communicate with them. I trust that you'll continue to pray for us and that we'll be able to continue to do something for God around the world. I hope that everybody's well and getting along all right. David Paul called a little earlier and said that he was fixing to set a tent down in Alabama. And said God had worked out everything for him for his ministry, which thrilled my heart to know that. And Betty communicated with some of the children just before we got in touch with you for the services. I don't know just how much enthusiasm you have at this time for world evangelism or lost souls, but I trust that it's not died down. If it has, you need to fan the sparks. Because the farther I go, the more I see the need for the gospel. And the more people I meet, the more that I'm made to understand that the pastors as well as evangelists aren't supplying the need of the people at all. It's kind of a routine with a lot of them. They're just going to and fro, and they're not really preaching wholeness or separation from the world, nor are they teaching baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin. And many of them are not even teaching the filling of the Holy Ghost. But I do find one thing, and that is that there is a lot of people that are active there in the ministry. I just met a gentleman from out of Florida that's over here. And he's in the charismatic move there in Florida. He's been very busy in some of the countries. I find quite a number of people that are busy in the different areas of the world, but it's so disappointing as to what they're doing and their motives and intents. As a whole, it's very sparingly, very, very few people that are coming in and out of the countries as to really do anything for Christ. And even summing the whole thing up, there's not a very, other than a whole lot of them that's coming in and out. But we find hungry hearts, and of course, as I see the masses in India and Africa and the different places, some of them highly religious, and still they don't know Christ nor the life of Christ. I see this is very disturbing to me. Brother Jerry and I have been able to witness masses of people that are just crying for a crumb and seem like they're so neglected. And seems like that those that are actively engaged in evangelism out here in this area are just routinists. They're just going to established churches and places to where they can draw the people, you know, and have income and whatever. And it's really a routine with them. As Paul said, I seek to preach the gospel where I'm not building on another man's foundation, and to be able to get into lost souls, which is, of course, all over the world. In India, the masses in India are so very pitiful. In Africa, it's very pitiful. And the other places are gone, even in Israel, knowing that they don't accept the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, it's very pitiful to see the masses of people, even in Israel, that is such great desperation for God. And yet, people blinded in that the Bible said that Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes that they should not see when good cometh. That is to say, has blinded their eyes of understanding. They're not able to comprehend. But as I was exhorting some of the brethren, as the Bible said, contend for the faith, and also pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, you know, that we might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful thing. Again, as I said to some brethren last night in our discussion, that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels and caught up into heaven, and in that the mysteries are great. Paul saying that I am made a steward of the mysteries of Christ, then it really behooves us, folks, to ask of God to give us the spirit of revelation. We really need the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations, and we are desperately in need of the spirit of revelation. The one thing that I find missing in the church as of great importance is the spirit of revelation. And the sad thing is that the average individual in the church doesn't even know there is such a thing as the spirit of revelation. And this, of course, is really disturbing, in that Paul the apostle was our overseer as to the Gentile church, having the revelation of Jesus Christ and being caught up into the third heaven. He pressed the issue that we should pray for the spirit of revelation. Inasmuch as he said, I would like to speak unto you as of the spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I cannot do that. So he exhorted them as that they should contend for the faith, or that is, they should continue on the milk of the word until they could grow into these wonderful things of God. Having heavenly treasure in earthen vessel, in that after Calvary, the Bible says that now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places, and we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. I was also exalting the brethren this morning, some of the sisters, in contending for the faith, that we should remember that we have to come out from the world. The Bible said to come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Or that is, it tells us that if the love of the world is in us, then the love of the Father isn't there. And that we're to withdraw, if we're to have this priceless thing that God has spoken of, we're to withdraw from the world. And I was exhorting the churches to this extent, that what we have to do in withdrawing, that we have to get away from the frivolous desires of life, and that our mind is so contaminated with the things of the world and so filled with the things of the world that when it comes to monetary values or the gullible desire of the flesh or sports of the world or any other thing we can be active in, that it looks like as religious people that we just get head over heels in it and get bound by it, to be again in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. All of this, that's to pass away. And of course, I was exhorting that as long as Satan can keep us preoccupied or keep our minds entangled with these things, we're not going to have any hunger and thirst for the things of God. For you know, if a man is filled with the activities of life and his day is filled up with the desires of human ego as to what the flesh is doing, then we're never going to have any time for solitude as to pray and to fast, to seek after God, or never have any time to really study the Word or to hunger and thirst after righteousness that we might be filled with those things of God. Those things are going to keep us in such an entanglement that it's going to be a snare to us all the days of our life. And even if we just take the average trend of life, as to just looking for financial securities and those things. I was exhorting today how that we need to seek God first, the kingdom of God first, and all these things to be added unto us. Because even if we just follow after this, this is going to prove to be a snare to us. But what we need to do, folks, is really have our minds on God, and especially world evangelism. As the Bible uses the term, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them to you for an inheritance. And what we need to do is have our minds on the other parts of the world other than just where we're dwelling, and make a special effort to reach out around the world in world evangelism and project the love of God and the light of God, the knowledge of God, in such a way that the world will hunger and thirst after that when they become acquainted with us. So as I said, in traveling around, we see this great, wonderful need, and we're still asking God to endow us with more knowledge, more understanding, more love of God, and more power in our life as the virgins of Christ, so that we can do more. One of the alarming things we also see in the churches we travel around is that people seem to be so powerless in the church, when the early church was so powerful. But in that we know that the Spirit, having driven Jesus into the wilderness, he remained there in supplication to God until return to the power of the Spirit. Knowing this, we're made to know then that the reason they are powerless is from their lack of consecration with God or to God, and that one of the great things is that they do not have the virtue of God in their body. They've not withdrawn from the things of the world to the extent that they can have the virtues of Christ in their body. Though some of them are born again, numbers of them, you know, they are born again, they are believers, and they have Christ in their heart. But as to really be beneficial to the kingdom of God, they're not sanctified in body as to the extent of surrender and conformity to the Word. So I find that they do not have the virtues of Christ in their body. Now I remind you again, as we've said in the past, that the little woman that touched the hem of the garment of Jesus felt within her body that she'd been made whole, and the Lord said that virtue had departed from his body. So it was obvious that the virtue is what healed the woman. It departed from the body of Jesus. And it is also said in the scriptures that wherever he went, virtue went out from him and healed the people. So the church seems powerless to the extent that they have not built virtue in their body by going on with God and withdrawing from the activities of natural life. So this is alarming to us, but I trust that we and you and somehow or another the church will come into the wonderful knowledge of God and realize the necessity as to these things, and that these things are necessitated to our experience, and that we must have the virtues of God if we're to have the healing and deliverance and to have the blessings that we need from Christ. So I exhort you, as Paul did, to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. That is, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us try to go on to perfection, as the Bible has said, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance as of dead works, to dead works and dead faith before God, but leaving the foundation of repentance, of having to repent day after day of our shortcomings and our carelessness, but going on to a perfect life, and that the Bible says that he that is perfect shall be as his master, and that we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Or as Paul said, let us seek for a full reward. So then let us go on to perfect our lives before God. The Bible says perfecting our lives in the fear of God and perfecting holiness under the Lord, that we might receive this wonderful virtue of God in our beings, that is, in our human beings, and that we might store up this virtue so that when we are praying for the people, that virtue will go forth from the body and heal the people. Or when we are speaking to the people, that we can produce sound wisdom as the understanding of God, and also relate to the people the deep, wonderful mysteries of Christ, and that the Bible tells us that we should launch out into the deep. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God searches out the things of God, even the deep things. Then we need to really get down to business with God. I think the biggest problem with the church is just lethargy, unconcern, and lack of diligence. And the bad part is that it is the ministry that is causing all of this. the ministry is lax. The ministry is interested a lot in career and in the monetary values of life and socialism. And because of this, the congregation doesn't know any better. The children are only brought up according to their raisings or as to how they're reared up in the home, and they don't know any difference. But it is a true fact that God is beginning to move a lot of those ministers. He spoke in one place of moving them, saying that I will take these ministers away, and I will put ministers or shepherds over my people that will feed the people, that will have a heart and concern for the people. And I see every day, as well as the United States around the world, I see ministers falling. I see a lot of fallacy that's been shown up in their lives. And even here, we was talking to, I believe it was last night, we was discussing a minister, and the thing's not exactly right. And some of the congregation has pulled away and started another work. And we've heard of a number of ministers, even as of late, that's having real problems, that hasn't been real diligent toward God, concerned toward God. They've not been given to prayer and study, not having concern for the people. God's moving them. And one right after another is beginning to fall. And again, I bring it back to Revelation, as we've taught you in the past, that these are falling stars. The Bible said that in the end time, it is pictorial that Satan wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars as the dragon, and cast these stars down to earth and trampled on them. And these, having been heavenly bodies as lights, Satan is beginning to gather them together and cast them down. And many great men, as it would be in the eyes of the people, are fallen. But at the same time, we've got to remember that according to science, as to the natural things that's in the world of stars and moon and sun, as to what they call the celestial, that many of them are nothing but nickel and rock, and they're only reflectors, and they're only held in orbit by the strength of the great day star, even the sunlight, and that they're bound to fall sooner or later if that light withdraws. And it's obvious that we're living in the hour now that the light's beginning to withdraw. To the extent that there's not the virtue in the earth that God desires, and the less virtue there is, the less that God will be in the earth. Satan is trying so hard to take the virtue, and this way he can drive God out of the lives of people, and he can control the people. He doesn't really want God to leave, to the extent that he wants that life that comes from God, and he'd love to raise up a perverted government to where he could control the people, you know, in a medical world that would bring healing to where we wouldn't have to depend on faith, and that way he could kind of blackmail God, as we say, in holding his children in bondage and keeping them in ignorance as to what God has for them, and still carry on his kingdom and his way of life as through a natural episode of life, or through natural means, or that is to say science, falsely so called. But seeing these things fall, seeing the different heavenly bodies begin to fall, it makes us to be very fearful. Whereas the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, and that we should fear, in the sense of godly fear, lest we fail to enter into the rest of Christ. And that those that were in the wilderness wandered for 40 years and did not enter in, and God finally raised up Joshua and took the children into Canaan. So then we realize, as Paul said, there's a rest that is for God's people. Therefore there remains the rest, and that these did not enter in because of unbelief. So knowing that there is a risk for people, we should be very concerned and to make sure that we don't miss that rest of God, that we might cease from our own ambitions and works in life, that might enter into the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his worthy name. And that way, we can be part of the kingdom of God. I look forward to speaking to you on Sunday morning. I have to be kind of careful as to the time, because we're traveling so much night and day, I get mixed up as to what day it is or what time it is. And as over here, the time is about 12 hours different. It's about 11 o'clock at night here, and you're just having your morning service there. The other morning over in India, when I was ministering to you, it was 5 o'clock in the morning when I was ministering to you. So down in Egypt, I don't know what time it was when we ministered to you there. But as to the different times that we minister to you, the time is so different that we just have to search and figure out just what time we're supposed to come in and talk with you. I hope everybody is happy, loving the Lord, serving God as joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and we should be full of the Holy Ghost. That's one thing that we need to do, is be full of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible speaks of being filled with the Spirit, and it spoke to the great men of God in the early apostolic times, as in the church then, that they were full of the Holy Ghost. So being full of the Holy Ghost, even as Stephen was when he spake and had done the wonderful miracles among the people, that's what we should be like. It's a real pleasure at the different times that I get to talk with you, to come in and fellowship, because being off this far, we miss your fellowship. And from what Chuck and the different ones tells us, that you miss our fellowship. So we have a longing, and that we look forward to the Sunday morning service to be able to talk with you and to fellowship you. I covet your prayers to the extent that we always are in need of the blessings of God, and in that God listens to the prayers of the saints, I covet your prayers. And also in that we're fixing to go into Hong Kong. I don't know what we're going to encounter there in Hong Kong. And then we're going to Red China. And I don't know what we're going to run into there. After that, we're supposed to leave and go, I'm not sure as to what is first, but we're going to Korea. We're going to Manila, the Philippines, and we're going to Taipei. And we're going to Japan. So I don't know just exactly what we're going to run into in those countries if we continue on as of now to those places. When we'll get home, of course, we're planning to go down to Australia and into Auckland, New Zealand, and over again into Honolulu, and they're asking us to minister in Hawaii. And after that, I was wanting to get into some of the islands. I appreciate the mail that God's given us through the broadcast out of the islands. And numbers of people have asked us to come into those places, or at least to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus according to what they're hearing by our way. And we're planning to try to go into those places and minister to those people. So you keep praying for us that God will help us to have a zeal and have a vision, and that we'll continue to do something that is worthy of His greatness. I know that none of us are worthy except through His greatness, but the Bible does speak of praying always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth or on into the world. And knowing that the tribulation period is now upon the people to the extent that it's breaking forth, and so many sad things are happening as to the beginning of sorrows, then I want to pray even the more that I'll be able to escape the horrible things that's coming on the people in this world. And you, as the flock of God there that we pastor, you pray earnestly and sincerely for us, and pray that you may be able to escape those evil things that's coming on the earth. And also, don't forget them that are without. Pray for the people throughout the world. As the Bible uses the terms that we should pray, making intercession as those that are staying in the stead of Christ and that He's absent in the body. And we should intercede for those that are without, praying that God will grant repentance unto life to those that are without. So you pray for us, and you pray for the people around the world. Ask God to open up their hearts and open doors to us, that we may be able to carry this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to those people that are without. May the Lord bless you and watch over you, and may He bless David in the things that David is about to do. The other brethren, I understand that Ron and Don are supposed to go ahead of us into Manila over in the Philippines, and we're to meet them there, and maybe they'll go into Korea. But whatever you do, you pray for us. Brother Mike has been a blessing to us here. He's been trying to help us, as well as Brother Jerry. And it has really proved to be a benefit to us. The flight I'm looking forward to is August 23rd from St. Louis to Atlanta, so said my wife, Betty. May God bless you, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Sunday.